Welcome to Move Wild Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Clapson. The aim of this podcast is to explore, learn, and spread the message of rewilding and natural movement so that we as humans can live in more alignment with our nature and reclaim what it means to be fully alive. The modern world has stripped away so much that used to nourish our mind, body, and soul. This podcast will help illuminate how we can reclaim and restore our innate, wild, capable, and strong spirit. Thanks for joining me on this journey.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Move Wild podcast. Jake and Molly here, and today we're going to be talking about light exposure and how it affects our health.
Yeah, so I'm excited to get into this episode, but before we do, I thought maybe we could share a little bit about what we've been up to. So right now we're house-sitting just around the Byron, Brunswick area, and we're looking for a place to rent around here, so we're going to be basing ourselves around here for the next little while. And we thought we'd mention that if any of you listening are up around this area, get in touch if you want to connect. And also we're going to be offering natural movement coaching, health coaching, and that kind of thing. So get in touch with us via Instagram if you're interested in that. So let's jump into today's kind of conversation around light. Do you want to start us off on some things?
Yeah, sure. I feel like we're in a very appropriate place to be talking about this. We're out on there. They've got like a yoga platform they're building out in their yard, and we're just totally just soaking up the morning sun, and it's beautiful. And I think that's a really nice place to start us off with getting light exposure from the sun, which is like our most natural source, and getting that in the morning when we wake up, being able to receive that and that being the first sort of source of light that we get in the morning is critical for us, rather than switching onto our phone, that we can instead put our body and our eyes into the sun in the morning. The early morning light's really, really good for that, and it also helps to prep our eyes and our skin for the sunlight of the rest of the day, helps to prevent burning through that preparation.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good point. And some things that I'll add to that, like, yeah, early morning, making sure that that's the first light exposure that you get. So a lot of people might be waking up and checking their phones, but even if you can just step outside for a second and like look at the sun, or if you're up before the sunrise, just expose yourself to the first light that's kind of coming up and surrounding you. It's a really great way. And what's going on a physiological level, I'll talk about that a little bit, is that when we step outside into that first light, or get that morning sunlight exposure, that kind of resets or sets up our circadian rhythm to be working really, really well. So what happens is that our body switches from releasing melatonin to starting to produce it and stopping releasing it, so that it can start producing it for the night to come, and it starts releasing serotonin, which is more the wakeful hormone, in order for us to be fully alert and present in a wakeful state. So it's really important just stepping outside and getting that initial kind of sunlight, and it's a great way to reset that rhythm, that natural rhythm, and get you more in flow with the natural cycles. So is there, yeah.
Yeah, I think that ties quite nicely into the importance of the melatonin production in sleep, and how blue light from our phones, which is the same light that comes from the sun but is unnatural, and when we're receiving that when the sun isn't up, like at 9 p.m. at night when we're looking at our phone before we go to bed, and how that's gonna suppress our melatonin and can lead to a lot of sleep disorders and mental health issues and just general poor quality of sleep, which leads to so many other issues such as like cardiovascular issues, breast cancer. So many studies point out poor quality sleep and their links to disease and disorders. So yeah, being able to get like limit that blue light exposure.
Yeah, and it's worth noting that, yeah, it's just they're different spectrums of light, and you know, blue light is also the light that's emitted from the sun, and that's the reason why it's damaging to be exposed to it at night, because it's like there's no sunlight at night, obviously. And when we expose ourselves to blue light through technology, we're essentially telling our physiology that it's daytime, and that's going to affect our sleeping cycles. And as you mentioned, Molly, you know, that can lead long term, chronically, if our sleep is affected, that can lead to, you know, many, many different health problems and health issues if we're not, you know, if, again, it comes back to that alignment. So more on sunlight specifically, and kind of making sure that we get it and enough of it, is obviously vitamin D is a massive part of getting enough sunlight. Vitamin D production happens on the skin and is absorbed through the skin. So that's one thing that not many people know, is that you don't automatically, like if you expose yourself to sunlight for like a minute, you don't necessarily get enough of that vitamin D production happening. You have to expose yourself for a certain amount of time, and that obviously depends on your pigmentation as well. For some people that's going to be, you know, 2 hours, or for some people that's going to be 15 minutes. And when you do expose yourself to sunlight, it's often good to not wash or kind of rub your skin too much after that initial exposure for about half an hour, because often the vitamin D production is continuing to happen on your skin and will then be absorbed through your skin. So it's not, you know, it's not a very quick process necessarily. So if you have like a shower right after you've exposed yourself to the sun, you might still be getting vitamin D, but that is not, you know, optimal. You're not getting optimal levels of vitamin D through that exposure or through that practice. Another thing that I'll mention is that vitamin D is necessary for testosterone production, and so decreased amount of sunlight will decrease your testosterone production, and also collagen production in the body is heavily reliant upon vitamin D and sun exposure. So those are two, you know, massive things that are tied to adequate amounts of vitamin D. And of course, sunlight is the best way to get it. Like, you can, there's some food sources, but it's very hard to obtain purely through food, and we are designed to be exposed to the sun and be getting vitamin D through sunlight. One thing that I find interesting about vitamin D is that for lighter skin people, for European or people with European heritage, due to the fact that for about 6 months of the year, many of evolutionarily, like the reason that that pigmentation form, like white skin, is generally what was due to higher absorption of vitamin D, and there's actually a mechanism through which we store vitamin D in order to use it over that 6 months of the year, so that we're not depleted because we're not getting access to sunlight. I find that pretty fascinating. Was there?
Yeah, that's super interesting. I actually didn't know that, but yeah, it's nice to know that my pale skin will be helping me out through winter. Yeah. I also think just noting as well, like being winter, the sun is so much less strong. You can spend a lot more time outside in winter, and yeah, that comparatively to summer. And I think that the time and the amount of time that you're spending in the sun in each season is going to vary from person to person. And yeah, like what Jake said, it might be 15 minutes might be optimal for you, maybe 2 hours, maybe all day you're fine in the sun, you know. It's just gonna, you'll know what's optimal for you and what makes you feel the best. I also think that tying in quickly back to that sleep that we mentioned about and blue light, different ways that we can prevent ourselves from receiving that blue light in the evenings can be through blue light blockers. So there's plenty of glasses and plenty of places online or in store that sell blue light blockers that you can just wear, put them on when the sun sets and just wear them throughout the night before you go to sleep. Can help block out that blue light, as well as just being intentional with your device use, you know, making it being like, okay, I go to sleep at 9, I'm going to make it 7:30 or 8 is when I'm shutting off my devices, and that'll drastically help to improve your sleep. Anything else you recommend for increased sleep?
I think it comes back to that, just honoring the circadian rhythm, and as you said, like, I think optimally 2 hours before sleep is generally when, like, if you're gonna expose yourself to technology or not really be conscious of exposure to blue light, That suppression period generally lasts for 2 hours. So if I looked at my phone at 10 p.m., of course I might be able to get to sleep at 10:30, but my sleep patterns and my melatonin release and the way that my body function is not going to be optimal until about 12 a.m., where I'm spending that 2 hours in complete darkness. So just being aware of that is a really, really big piece of sleep. And obviously there's different ways that you can use your technology. Like there's night mode on the newer iPhones, and also house lights and street lights emit blue light. So just being aware of that as well. It's not just technology and it's not just laptops, but those are kind of the main things. And also I think it's really important to remove that fear, or remove that kind of relationship that most or many people have with sun. Sun is a natural thing. We've evolved with sunlight, and we've evolved with long-term exposure to sunlight. It's not, you know, it's not something that's going to damage you or harm you if you're eating well, if you're sleeping well, if you're moving well. You know, if you spend, you know, and it's obviously dependent on the person. People who have lighter skin and who are not designed physiologically for high amounts of sunlight exposure, they're going to have problems with, you know, maybe being in an equatorial place and never in shade, or never or just constantly exposing themselves to the sun, and vice versa. People with heritage or ethnicity that is more physiologically adapted to higher sun exposure, if they all of a sudden go and live in Norway, where, for, you know, far north in the Arctic Circle or whatever, where for 6 months of the year they're not getting sun exposure, then they're going to have problems because they're not getting enough sun exposure. So just being aware of that, but also in general removing the fear of sunlight and seeing it more as something that is beneficial to our health rather than damaging to our health is really good. And you know, knowing that, yeah, it's very, very ancestral in the sense that, you know, we have as a species, and like there's never been a time where we've just, like, we're not like bears. We don't hibernate in caves for 6 months of the year, or we're not really in dark places. We're always being exposed to sunlight, and we're always exposed to natural light in some form or another. So just, yeah, removing some of that fear, I think, is really, really important when we consider our relationship with sunlight and how much we get. Anything else you wanted to add, or?
So not on that point, but I did want to pull into a point about productivity and light, and about how different sort of lights in your workspace affect you differently in regards to how productive you become, or if you're feeling more lethargic. And optimally, your workspace is lit by natural lighting. So if you can be working next to a window and working during the daytime, that's going to be optimal. But in workplaces or in office buildings and things like that, like, new research is coming out that fluorescent lights can actually make you a little bit more depressed and sleepy while you're working, whereas LED lights are optimal for productivity. And just sort of being aware of that in your own home spaces that you might be doing work at, or if you're running a business, to be a little bit more aware of the light choices that you do put, you know, even in break rooms, using warm light to relax people, and yeah, being able to be in a little bit more control of the levels of energy that, you know, you're having while you work can be greatly impacted by light.
Yeah, and I think that points out just a broader concept in general, that the environment has a massive impact on our energy levels and a massive impact on how we function. And it's just such a, you know, such an obvious kind of thing when you look at it and see that we as humans are designed or are adapted to certain parameters of environments, and we are extremely adaptable animals. But there's always going to be an environment that we're, you know, if we're put into an environment that has fluorescent lighting and toxins and bad food and negative people, then we're going to function a lot worse than if we're put into our more optimal environment, which is aligned with us ancestrally and biologically. So just understanding that broader concept that environment plays a massive, massive role in our health. And that's a good point to tie into to something we mentioned last week, which is we're currently in the process of producing, writing and recording an audio masterclass where we kind of cover many of these factors, including sunlight and including environment, the things that help us to thrive in the modern world and really trying to understand those things. So if you guys are interested in that, then message us via Instagram for more info on that audio masterclass, which will be coming out soon, and we'll give more info on our profile as we progress with it. I think that's pretty much all that we wanted to touch on today. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. Really appreciate your listenership and your support in just listening to the show. If you're getting value out of these episodes, then please head over and subscribe, leave us a rating and a review if you haven't done so already. It really helps with getting the show out to more people and spreading this message. So thanks again, guys, and we'll catch you on the next episode.